you have your Bibles, turn with me today to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage of Scripture, but I want to share with you what the Lord has been dealing with me about. And anybody ever get scared of something? Amen. You get scared of putting your money where your mouth is. Anybody? Amen. I believe the Lord shared something with me, and I want to share it with you. Amen. Very quickly giving honor to Pastor Phil and Sister Sula as they're out of town today. Amen. Remember them. Amen. They're ministering in Kendallville today for the Gillilands. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. How do you forget it? Baby dedication. Sorry. In Jesus' name. Amen. They're dedicating their newest child for them. Amen. And preaching that service. Amen. We're praying that God would move in Kendallville today. Amen. On behalf of this church. Amen. We extend faith in that direction. Amen. Use our men of God. Amen. And then also honor my own family. Amen. My wife and Grace who are here today. Amen. Can I just preach like I don't go here? Can I just do that? I mean, it's one thing to preach as somebody who is in the part of this church, but I just want to preach to you as somebody who doesn't go here. Amen. I just feel the Lord. Amen. Moving. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. Amen. The Bible says there that the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and they set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Amen. And he caused me to pass round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They'd been there a while. Those bones had been there a while. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Amen. Isn't that just like us to put it back on God? Lord, you know. Instead of having to put our money where our mouth is. Amen. And again he said unto me, verse 4, prophesy unto these bones, and they say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and will cover you with skin, and will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's the word of God delivered out of the hand and out of the mouth of a man. It doesn't quite seem fair. But when we don't have the words, God in fact does have the words. And when we don't have the faith, his word is enough. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Amen. You know what that means, bone to his bone. This is where the writer of the song said, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. Ankle bone's connected to the shin bone. Anybody ever wanted, this is where that song came from. Amen. It's okay. It's not going to get much better. Amen. Verse 8 says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Say, it's completion without fulfillment. Completion without fulfillment. It is not enough for it to have the sinews and the flesh and the bones in the correct order. It is not enough. It is not enough until the breath of God settles on us. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these that are slain, that they may live. And again, we read here that he prophesied as he was commanded. Not because he had enough faith on his own. Sometimes we get to the point where we don't have enough faith to speak big, bold things before God. Sometimes we come out of a fiery service or a youth camp, young people, or a Great Lakes Youth Conference or North American Youth Congress or maybe it's General Conference, or because of the times as adults we might go to, and we come out of there and we feel like we can take on hell with a squirt gun. This is not one of those moments. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. I want to help you today. I want the Lord to help me help you today. I want to deliver this very simple sermon, and I won't be long. I know I'm the only thing between you and a holiday weekend. Amen. And all the things, the cookouts and stuff that are sure to come. Amen. But I want to leave you with this, and that is, we don't need to be speechless. Speechless. Amen. Would you lift your hands one more time? Lord, we love you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the presence of God which we feel in this house. God, help us, Lord, everyone, especially me today, God. God, I don't want to be in the way of your word, but I want your word to be pure. And I want it to, Lord, be sovereign, and I want it to be powerful. I want you to help us today so that we can have everything that your kingdom says we can have. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I know that there is no shortage of self-help books that are written on the subject of, quote, the power of positive thinking. Amen. You can go through the self-help section at any Barnes & Noble, amen, or any half-price books or whatever your chosen bookstore is, and you can find racks and racks of books about self-help. I mean, I remember specifically there was a book that was called Think and Grow Rich. I don't know about you, so far that hasn't worked for me, amen, just thinking about it and growing rich. These books, they have their place in changing our mindsets about certain things, but they very often fall short in the leadership and personal growth world. I'm not interested in some psychological banter today. I'm not interested in thinking and growing rich unless someone can prove that it works. I'm not interested in some psychological process that hypes me up and leaves me wanting more. I'm not interested in those things. I'm not interested in a hollow excuse for power and anointing. I'm more interested in knowing what it takes for me and you to be successful in the kingdom of God and for me to have all the things that belong to me. The Bible says there are things and promises which are ours to behold. They're not to be taken from us. And if we live without them, we live without them on our own basis. Maybe we are ignorant of the Word of God, or we just don't have faith enough to believe, amen, in a specific process. But yet, I want to help us today learn how to not be speechless. There's something about the spoken word that allows us to transition, amen, from faith internal or brokenness internally to speaking out the word of faith and speaking out the things which are not, the Bible says, as things they were, and having the ability, what is the thing that changes the gap from here to there, from having, not having, to having all that God promises, from not possessing and not being full of dominion to taking dominion of the world around us and our families, and as a husband, how do I take dominion over my marriage and keep the world out of it, and how do I take dominion over the relationships with my children and keep them in the house of God and not let them wander around out in the world. I want to make sure in today's political and psychological nightmare that we call politics. I want to keep my family clear of all of those things. I want to dodge the edge of all of that mess, and I want to keep myself together. I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want my marriage or my family to be a statistic. I don't want my loved ones to be a statistic. I don't want my church to be a statistic. I want to know that we have all that God commands that we should have. I want to make sure that in my hands and in your hands are every promise. I love to talk about Pentecost as a historical movement, but in the same respect, I hate it. I despise talking about old revivals. Because all it does is make me jealous. Hearing about being in the middle of service and there being, amen, cancer growths that would drop off and the healings that would take place, lame, amen, limbs that would be straightened and ears that are opened and eyes that are opened that were usually blind. I love to hear about the power of God. I despise it because I yearn for it. I want it because it belongs to me, and if I live without it, it's on my own accord, and so it is for you. And I'm not pointing fingers. I'm telling you from the get, it's me. I'm guilty. I'm the one. So how is it that we can go about relinquishing our own faithlessness and gathering into ourselves the power and the authority of the Word of God to our lives? The Bible says very clearly that in the beginning, when God was doing creational work in Genesis, he said that God spoke every one of them into existence. Said that he spoke the stars, and he spoke the moon and the sun. He spoke the earth, and he spoke the grass and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea. I don't know why he created a deer the way that he did. I'm glad that he did. I'm glad that he created the white-tailed buck to look exactly like it does. I don't know why he did that, but that's one of the little ways I know God loves me. Amen. Amen. I seen a post this week that said, "Bacon, just one more reminder that God loves me." Yes, Lord. Amen. But the Word of God is pretty clear that at the beginning, that God spoke the world into existence. The only thing that we know that he formed with his hands was man from the dust of the earth. But then something miraculous happened. He breathed into us, into our nostrils, the breath of life. There's some things that we can only receive by the wind of God. Only receive when we've been in the presence of God. But there is something about the rest of it that he had dominion over. He could speak to it, and it would become as though it wasn't, or as it wasn't to those things as it would become. I can't imagine. I'm kind of a science geek. I enjoy learning about wild things and thinking outside of my own thoughts. I enjoy the learning about the entanglement of quantum mechanics and how that the longer science goes, the more we figure out that everything is connected to everything else, and there's nothing that's separate one from another. Not in a I believe science trumps the Word of God, but in the fact that I believe the Word of God shows truth over and over and over, that everything that was created is connected because it was spoken by the Word of God. Right at the outset of the beginning of Scripture, he begins revealing the truth to us about his very nature. And as we continue to read the Bible all the way through the book of Revelation, you see God's patterns repeated over and over. God's words are always firm, and they are adamant. You never find not one place where his words came back void and undone. Never. Right from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelations, the ocean, the seas, the mountains, the rivers, the sun, the moon, and stars, they're flung out of nothingness into a pure design existence by nothing more than the Word of God. One cannot simply think about a particular objective and hope to accomplish it by simply having a great idea. As men, we are required to put our hands to the grindstone and get to work to build it. The best laid plans for a beautiful home are just that. They're plans. It is not until we as men and women of God begin to put our hands to work that we see a bathroom transform or a home be built. We find that in every sports movie, something takes place, though, in the things that aren't built by hands. I'm talking about the psyche of man, the mentality, the mindset. How many boxing movies have you watched over the years, or shows, or experienced soccer players, or basketball players, or football players, where they're not first standing in a mirror with sweat dripping down their face in some attempt to look big and bad and bold, and they stand there and say, what do they say? I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali was famous for saying that in absolutely every opportunity. I am the greatest. I am the greatest boxer that ever lived. I am the greatest boxer that ever lived. They believe it. They convince themselves of it. And then they go to achieve it because they believe it and they speak it. I would not want to step in the ring, I mean, to be a world champion against somebody else who is convinced they are the greatest with the mindset, I'm okay to be second. Anybody want to step in with Mike Tyson feeling like second? No. That's a scary proposition. But there has to be something in the psyche and in the mind that must take place of I am the greatest. Now, I'm not saying that we should have that thought here today. I'm just saying there's a common thread that when you speak things into existence, if you give it enough time, you put in enough work, it does come to pass. There's an incredible creative work taking place in that Genesis 1 that we talked about, and God's word is at the center of it all. The literal uttered noise from the mouth of God coming over the lips of the Almighty. This precedent is overarching and repeating through Scripture over and over. God speaks and things happen. God speaks and things happen. God speaks and things happen. And God speaks and things happen. He opens his mouth and things start moving into place. It has no choice because the word of God is bound to the option that is bound to the option that God is only omnipotent and God is only omnipresent and God is only omniscient. He is all powerful. He's not just mighty, he's almighty. And so when he speaks, the word comes forth, and it's the process of him being the King of Kings and the word respecting the King of Kings. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt, spoke, and Joseph elevated from prison to prince. 1 Samuel 13, Saul, the king of Israel, spoke, and all of Israel, every last one of them, was called to assemble at Gilgal. 2 Samuel 11, David spoke, and Uriah was sent to the front lines to be murdered. Even the word of a king can break the laws that we know. 1 Kings chapter 2, Solomon speaks, and Adonijah is killed. 1 Kings 21, Ahab speaks, and Naboth lost his vineyard. In 2 Kings 9, Jehu speaks, and Ahaziah and Jezebel were slain. Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, a man of Assyria, spoke, and three Hebrew boys are thrown into a fiery furnace. The words of kings don't go undone. Hebrews 11, rather, we find out through faith that all the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not, that are seen, which were made of things which do not yet appear. He literally spoke it from nothing into something. Lions don't eat prophets, and giants have to shut their mouth when Jesus speaks. When the king speaks, Pharaoh had to let his people go. When Jesus speaks, the seas are opened up and they stand aside. When God speaks, the centurion's daughter is healed from a long distance. When the king speaks, the stormy seas must lie still and the winds must cease. When the king speaks, you're most likely going to glow from his glory like Moses did when he came down from 40 days on the mountain listening to God speak. Bible says in Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9, says, Let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Over and over and over, God speaks, and creation listens. A king speaks, and creation moves. And I'm being redundant intentionally because I want us to understand that that word is powerful. It's the ability of the word to move and change things around it is second to none. It's a godly character. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost in here today, the Bible says, greater works than these shall ye do also. I want to change our minds as I change my mind about how we pray, about how we live for God, about how we go to work every day and how we come home and how we pay our bills and how we walk through Walmart. I go so often without dominion and I walk with my head down and I avoid confrontation. But God said that if I would open my mouth, I can speak the things that are not as though they were. I'm tired of going without. It's like a bologna sandwich without the bologna. It's just mayonnaise soaked bread. Doesn't that sound good? Man, who doesn't like a fried bologna sandwich with a big slice of tomato on it? Lord Jesus, you're in the Midwest now, baby. Amen. But I get tired of going without and feeling like my prayers hit the bedroom walls and bounce back to me. I'm tired of my family living in strife on occasion because of outside influences. We do our best, but the world is that awful. That stuff comes home with us every day. We come home with the residue of worldliness. And I'm tired to absolute death of going without the power of God when we pray every single time. It's one thing to come to an altar and we anoint you with oil and we do all the things the Word of God says. That's one thing. It's another thing entirely to go out of here and take your bed and walk. I feel a conviction of God on my heart. And honestly, I hope you do too. Because I want to be different. I want to be a world changer. I want them to write books about this church in years to come that says, and these are those which turn their world upside down. Because I need the hand of God in my life. I need the authority of God. Something so powerful about when God speaks, his power is limitless. His resources are boundless. There's no bottom to his supply. We sell God like he's an amputee and his arm is not shortened, but it's removed. Because God did it in Azusa Street, but he'll never do it on Harrison Street. Every time he ever opened his mouth, something miraculous happened. One of the most powerful scriptures ever that was written is Genesis 1 and 27. The Bible says very clear, so God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We are created in the image of God. Everything God has, I have. Everything God has, you have. And if we live below the bonds of what God has created us for, then we go without. I always make a joke about every time I preach almost that I want ramen noodles and anchovies. I'm tired of ramen noodles and anchovies. I want to go where the land flows with milk and with honey, and the grapes have to be carried between two men. I want to live in the abundant blessings of God. I want to see cancer fall. I want to see diabetes broken. I want to see chronic problems solved. I want to see pain gone in Jesus' name. And I don't want to wait for it. I want it right now. I don't want to feel like that little girl from Willy Wonka that says, I want it now. Lord knows that girl was annoying. She needed somebody to crack her with a belt. However, I want it. I want you to want it. I want our church to want it. I want to go in the power and the anointing of God. I want to go with the authority. I want to see our schools changed. I want to see the things that happen that everybody else talks about that I only dream of and you only dream of. I want to go, but it's only going to happen when we figure out that the Word of God has to be spoken out of our mouth. We have to open our mouth and believe with authority that God can handle the situation. We've got to open our mouth. We cannot be left speechless. God created man in his own image. That's you and that's me. We are created literally in the image of God. That God says, whatever you speak, we are formed in the image, molded in his likeness. Everything about him is the same with us. His creative power to speak things into existence within mankind. We are his children, and I might not have daddy's nose or mommy's eyes, but I know for a fact I have his spirit, and I know for a fact that his spirit can empower us to speak to situations in our own lives and say, mountain be removed. The Bible says that if we speak to the mountain, it shall be removed and cast into the sea. His spirit in my life and your life allows us enough authority to speak to my own mountains and my own storms. I'm tired of feeling like a whiner. Every struggle we go through, we say, God, boo-hoo, would you please? God, boo-hoo, would you please? And we find ourselves in our private prayer time begging God rather than declaring, God, I commanded it and it took off today. I commanded it to be gone, and you ought to see the change in that little girl's eyes. And I commanded it to be gone, and you ought to have seen the change in our marriage and our relationship. I said, be gone, and that belongs to me. I don't even know why they gave me the raise, and I don't even know why they gave me the promotion to a job I'm not qualified for. I just know I spoke it, and God did it. And I want that, and I want you to want that. And it belongs to us, and I want to help us to understand the Word of God says, if you will, then he will. His spirit in me allows enough authority to speak to my own mountains and storms. His spirit is powerful enough to embolden us to be able to speak to situations, and they respond to our God-given authority. It belongs to you. I'm asking you right alongside me today to awaken it. I'm asking you to awaken it. I don't know, this is awkward. Because if I'm asking you to awaken it, I'm asking you to admit that you're not accessing it. I'm asking you to awaken it. I'm asking me to awaken it today. To go home with what belongs to me today. Matthew 21:22 says, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive." In all things. All things. How many things fit under the umbrella of all? All of them do. All things fit under the umbrella of all. That means there's nothing too big, nothing too big, nothing too big, nothing too big, nothing too big. There's nothing too big. Isaiah 55:11 says that, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, send it, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I send it." That's in your hands. That's in my hands. That's in your mouth right now. Do I have anybody that believes it today? This is the word of God. This isn't made up. This isn't some hyperbole that I'm pulling out of, you know, out of left field. This isn't something I got at the ball field the other night. This isn't a prize out of a Cracker Jack box. It's the Word of God, and it says it belongs to us. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth to the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It becomes a matter of the mouth. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. What shall be given you? It shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. How many it's do we have that we need? How many it's do we have? How many lost children are in this place or not in this place that should be? I got a message, amen, from a guy who's a backslidden pastor's son, been gone 20 plus years. I'm speaking over my friend. It belongs to me. The same way it belongs to you. Look around you today. All of you that have been in this church all these 15, 20 plus years, how many are here now versus how many should be here now? How many loved ones are on the edge? Don't watch the news, but if you have to, pay attention to where we are. There's not many seconds left on the clock. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There's a responsibility on us to knock. For every one of you that asketh, he what? Receiveth. And every one of you that seeketh what? He findeth. How many of you have things that are lost? Loved ones that are lost. How many have doors in front of you that are closed? I wish I could preach what I feel. It's our responsibility to get to knocking and asking and finding. It's our responsibility. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, and as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. It requires somewhere of us to believe as though it were. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, or that I do, shall he do also. And what? Greater works. Greater works than these shall he do. This scripture challenges me because I want to see revival happen. I want to see 3,000 souls in a day be added unto the church. Greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask, whatsoever you shall ask. How many has some whatsoevers? How many's got a prayer list you're tired of looking at? I'm not being rough on you. I'm being rough on me. Please don't think I'm being ugly. I'm not trying to be pastoral. I'm trying to show you what the Lord is showing me. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, for the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I got some things I need help with. I got some things I'm tired of looking at. I got some things I need God to do. I got some things in my neighborhood, some loved ones, some friends, some neighbors that need God so bad they can't see straight. I got a drunk that lives across the street. Forgot we're recording. I got things I need God to do in my life. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All it takes is for me to not be caught speechless. And for you to not be caught speechless. There's never an excuse for us to not open our mouth. Because God said, if you will, then I will. It's a requirement on us to open our mouth, to knock, to seek, to find. It's not God's responsibility. God didn't say, if you'll give a good offering, I'll do it. He didn't say, if you'll march to the top of Mount Everest and bring me some rare flower as an offering to some foreign gold god, I'll do it. He never said any of those things. He just said, open your mouth and speak the things that are not to be as though they were. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. I got some mountains. Some of you got mountains, I know. This is the benefit, and I'm being careful. I'm being real careful. I know some of you, and some of you know me, and we're friends, and we're tied together, and I don't want to call your mountains, but I know some of you got mountains. Some of you know we've had mountains in our life. And I'm not calling nobody's business. I'm just saying, I got mountains I need to handle. I need God to do some things. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what? Ye shall have them. I have no excuse to be left speechless. I wish we were swinging off the chandeliers and clawing the wallpaper down. It'd be a lot easier. Musicians, come. Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Just leave it up there for me, please. I'm going to tell you about a story I came across in the last few days. It's a story about a Japanese guy who cooked a whole pot of rice. Scientists, believing there's a correlation between our voice and the metaphysical things in the world around us. He cooks a whole pot of rice together, and he puts it in three separate jars. And he labeled the jars good, bad, and then the last one he left blank. And so to the good jar, he would go to it twice a day. And he would say good, kind things to the jar. This, you may think it's dumb, but this guy would hold a jar of rice and say, you are lovely. You are pure. You are chosen. You're the best rice in this room. And this sounds stupid, right? It sounds ridiculous. And this Japanese guy would hold the rice and he would say, you're the most beautiful pot of rice in all of Japan. And he would pour his love to this pot of rice. And to the bad rice, he would hold it up and say, you're useless and you're meaningless. You're the worst pot of rice I've ever seen in my life. You're absolutely, unequivocally unable to do anything in and of yourself. You're useless. And he would say negative things to the bad pot of rice. And to the other pot of rice that he ignored and said nothing to, he would left them alone, and within 11 days, the pot of rice that he spoke good things to looked identical to the pot of rice he started with. And to the jar of rice that he spoke the negative things to was filled with mold and was black. There's literally something that we can't see in the air. There's a metaphysical thing that takes place when we speak the good things of God from our mouth. And if it can affect a pot of rice, how can it not affect our prayer life? If it can affect a pot of rice, if it can change the direction and the longevity of a pot of cooked rice in a jar, how can it not affect us? We have a responsibility to not be speechless. And the jar that was ignored, it rotted the same as if you'd have spoke negative to it. There has to come from our mouth something. There has to be a cry. There's a reason that God said when he went to the children of Israel who were bound in Egypt for 400 years, I have heard my children's cry by the reason of their taskmasters. There has to be something in the mouth of an apostolic that wakes up and says, I can speak to what is ever in front of me, whatsoever thing that I need, whatsoever cancer, whatsoever thing, whatsoever marriage problem, whatsoever thing that I have. And I need to ask him in God's faith and believe, and God will do it. If God can affect a pot of rice, and just in case you are wondering if that's repeatable, it's been done hundreds and hundreds of times. Matter of fact, my family and I are probably going to do it in the coming days. I want to see it for myself. I want my girls to understand, man, there's power in what you speak. And the best way I can show them is to demonstrate it, to open my mouth and not be caught speechless. I wish I was a better preacher. I want the Spirit of God to move. If would you lift your hands with me all over this house? Stand to your feet with me all over this place. And lift your voice today. Come on, lift up your voice. Your voice is powerful, far beyond your even knowing. Your voice is powerful. Speak some things into existence. Would you just try with God today? Try it. Just lift your voice and say, God, I need some things. I've got some mountains that need removed. I've got some things in my heart that aren't just quite right. God, that I can't seem to get settled. I need you today, Lord Jesus. I need you desperately. Would you lift your voice all over this place? Come on, let it out real loud. Lord, I need you today. I need you. I need you. I need you. Don't be left speechless on this Sunday. Come on, it's Memorial Day weekend. I know, but can you carve out a little time to open your lips and let the fruits of your lips, the voice that God's given you, let it raise up today. Lord, we need you. We need you. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice all over this place. Have your way. Have your way. If you've got some things that you need God to do, would you come? God, meet me at this altar. I pray with you. You can pray with me. I want God to do some things for me. And I need to lift up my voice. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and your hearts one more time as we go before the Lord? Lord, we love you. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. God, challenge us. Challenge us in the next few days, God, to make it different. Lord God, we want to be, Lord Jesus, and have what you say we can have. Lord Jesus, we're trusting in you. We're trusting in you, God, to do all these things. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands, amen, with me? Clap your hands and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I know you've at least got a hallelujah left on Memorial Day weekend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we magnify you. We magnify you. Amen. God bless you, each and every one. Amen.